It's Tuesday night and time to talk Shadron State football with the head coach. It's the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows.
We are still in communication with a few schools, trying to see if there's an opportunity there to be able to make it work out where their open week's the same as our open week. There's also, you know, still an option for the spring. There's going to be some RMAC teams that are playing in the spring. Now it's really focusing on putting in that game plan, ironing out the few wrinkles that we have. And, you know, we've been practicing for a long time, so you got to also add some things in there that are fun to do, maybe some trick plays, those type of things.
Here's your host, the voice of the Eagles, Dave Collins.
It's Tuesday night, visiting with head coach Jay Long once again on our weekly Jay Long Show. Coach, glad to have you in the studio to break down the game, look ahead at New Mexico Highlands, and talk about the team tonight. Man, another real competitive and close dogfight of a football game. Came down to the very, very end again at Mesa, and guys have had an awful lot of these already, and we're just a month into the season.
Yeah, it seems like every game comes down to the wire right now for us, and after we watch film, and I was proud of how the guys, you know, were in the game at the end, and we had an opportunity to win at the end. And, you know, this year, this season, you know, the teams that we've played are combined 13 and I think 3 or something like that is what the combined record is of them. And the teams we've lost to are 11 and 1, and all three of the teams we've lost to are all getting votes in the poll. You know, so we're playing some tough teams, and you know, we feel like if there just would have been a play here or a play there, you know, we could easily be sitting, you know, 3-1 ourselves, but we're not. So we have to go to the drawing board, and we got to figure out ways to be able to score more points and to find opportunities to be able to win these close games.
Looking at the film and talking about the drawing board, trying to figure out how to score some more points after you evaluated Saturday and how things played out, and what was a more defensive game than I think Sam and I thought it was going to be, even though last year was defensive. I guess, what were the key things that kind of stood out to you that kept you guys just short of picking up a huge road win?
You know, Dave, when you look at statistically wise, we had 400 yards offense. We had 25 first downs. We won the time of possession. You know, we were moving the ball up and down the field. And then for some reason, we just got stalled out about that 30-40 yard line. We needed to make some kicks at some times to continue to get some scores on the board. We needed to figure out ways to get the ball in some of our playmakers' hands. But, you know, it really just comes down to we got to find ways to score. What is that answer? I really right now just tell you that we got to continue to figure out what's getting us to be able to move the ball up there. We need to execute at those key points. And, you know, that's whether we got to simplify things when we get in there or what. But I know that, you know, that it's something that we're definitely stressing, definitely working on.
It is amazing how razor-thin wins and losses can come when you look at stats and what the numbers you guys are putting up. And we're going to talk about third downs in a little bit and how amazing you've been on that crucial down this year as a team, coming off 73% 2 weeks ago and then another good effort Saturday. And we talk about hot starts a lot, Coach. And you guys are outscoring teams 31-3 in the opening quarter. You're getting some points early and getting those good starts. Second and third quarter, though, things kind of go the other way and the points swing to the other side. You guys have any idea what it is about that second and third quarter, and do you guys make an emphasis with the team about quarter two, quarter three, moving forward, kind of in the middle of the game?
You know, I think, you know, Dave, the emphasis is always you want to start, you know, start fast, but and also you want to finish the game, and I think that goes into our same thing we're talking about, where we got to find ways to be able to get in that end zone offensively. You know, I thought that this week we had one of the best game plans we've had of the year, and it did result in a ton of yards. But we need to find some points, and whether you put an emphasis or not, we're always emphasizing ways to score. And you know, one thing that when you look at, you know, this thing that is showing up with them being 31-3 is, you know, we script our first plays, and our script game is something we practice, you know, every day. There are base plays that we think can work, and you know, whether we need to continue to do that, or, you know, look at simplifying things, or look at just trying to get the ball in certain players' hands as the game progresses. That's, you know, what we need to, you know, to find out. But really, it just comes down to just finding ways to score. And when those opportunities present themselves, we need to score.
Coach, I think it's so interesting that you bring up scripting plays and obviously success with a 31-3 advantage in scoring. and finding success scripting. Obviously, you can't script a whole game out because things happen. Growing up in Denver watching the Broncos, they had a lot of success scripting those first drives and plays. How tough is it to, I guess, deviate from that? Or how tough is it to stay with all the scripted plays when maybe some things happen in the game that don't go for it? Do you guys find yourselves definitely sticking with that?
Yeah, you know, everybody when they script, probably some teams script 10, some script 15, some will go 20. But when you script games, script plays, you know, basically you have those plays should work in any first and second down situation. Now, if something happens, such as a sack or a penalty, then that puts you in third and long. Then you obviously you get off script and you go to your third and long scenarios with things. But you know, we've scripted plays ever since. Well, ever since I played here with Coach Smith, and you know, it's something that I would say most staffs do with things. But you know, I think that you know, that's, you know, what we look for when we look at scripting games.
All right, great insights, Coach Jay Long, with us on the Tuesday night Jay Long Show. Let's dive into a key play in the football game. You know, you're sitting 10-3 in the second half, and you, at this point, we all know a play here, play there could change the game. Just under 9 minutes left in the third quarter, Mesa up 10-3. Saxon Wright, an impressive, smart freshman, getting onto the field a little bit more in recent weeks. Man, he nearly took the ball off the punter's foot on a Mesa fourth down, and when Sam and I were watching that in the booth, it looked like he was going to block it. Looked like you had the guys there to scoop and score and tie the game, even though he didn't block it, great penetration by Saxon to look forward. But man, that could have changed everything.
You know, Saxon's one of the really good players we brought in. Very talented freshman. And Dave, after watching on film, he won't do that again. He'll make the play in the future. And as a freshman, you learn, you know, multiple different ways. And you know, one way you learn is by, you know, missed opportunities. And also you learn by making opportunities. But he's a guy that I think that is, you know, we were putting in special positions because we think he has special talent, and you know, I think that he's a kid that's going to continue to grow, and he's going to make those plays in the future. You know, I think another key play in the game, Dave, was Mesa tried to fake a punt on us, and right after that, and Chase Thurness did a terrific job of you know, holding the edge and forcing the ball back in, and then I think Saxon actually made that tackle on that play, and you know, that was a huge momentum swing in the game. It was a point where we got good field position on offense, and that was another key drive in the game. When you're looking back at like missed opportunities, we walked away with starting on the good field position, and we didn't score any points with things. We ran the ball, we didn't make much yards. Then we threw a deep ball, and we just missed it. And I think that could have been another key part of the game.
Yeah, definitely a big sequence. Great to see special teams getting in there and your fourth down defense making those big plays on defense to put your offense in a good situation. As we look at penalties next, Coach, in the game, even with 8 per team on Saturday, but the timing of when penalties can happen really can make them even more painful and sometimes tough to overcome. That was part of the trouble on Saturday when you were trying to make the comeback, some penalties in some tough spots.
You know, I've never had a game more penalty free. After, you know, during the game, I was disappointed in the penalties. I'm still disappointed in them, but when you go back and look on film, you know, they had 8, we had 8, those guys had some crucial penalties at crucial times also. But, you know, really what I look at is I'm really disappointed in our penalty where we took our helmet off on a missed opportunity, because that put us in poor field position, and it took us out of scoring, took us out of an opportunity for a field goal. When we look back at things, also another one of those missed opportunities, and really disappointed in that. And we talk and we preach all the time. The kid just felt like he got held the whole way, and his helmet was coming off, and he ripped, you know, pulled it off, and play was playing emotional. And we talk all the time about playing with emotion, not emotional. And we let emotion get the best of us, and it hurt us. And you know, that's something that unfortunately, that it's a tough learning lesson, it's something that cannot happen in the future.
Coach Long on his Tuesday night show with us. Jay, no matter what happens, win or lose, you got to look forward to the next week of games, and we have Highlands coming up. We'll get to them in a minute, but you need to take whatever positives you can, obviously, out of the Mesa game, and there certainly were some in that contest. You got third down figured out again, Coach. Another successful day moving the chains, 9-17, and that's been really important for your guys this year to give them a chance to get in the end zone, and you've done it multiple weeks now.
And Dave, been talking about it quite a bit. You know, Mesa's got a top defense. Angelo State's got a top defense when you look at them statistically. And we move the ball on both of those teams. I know I'm sounding like a broken record now, but we just got to find ways to score. Nowadays, game, you have to score more than 25 points to win games. We've got to figure out ways to do that. But there is a ton of positives. I mean, when you look at it, 400 yards against a defense that hasn't been given up much.
Yeah.
And then also we held their offense to very minimal yards to an offense. It's been very, very explosive the past two games that they've played. And then also, we had 25 first downs. We won the time of possession. We moved the ball up and down the field. And now it just literally comes down to finding ways to score. And that's something that we know. We got to figure it out, and we got to fix that.
There is more of tonight's Jay Long Show coming up next after this word from Shadron Glass and Windows.
The Jay Long Show is presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Whether you're looking to replace one broken window, upgrade your entire home or business with a beautiful new look, or replace a cracked vehicle windshield, you'll find your perfect glass solution at Shadron Glass and Windows. Save money this winter on energy costs and upgrade to more energy-efficient windows and doors. Stop in and see Judd at 139 Main Street or give Shadron Glass and Windows a call at 432-3268. That's 432-3268.
Welcome back to the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows.
Yeah, and you guys held one of the best kick returners in all of America, a Division I transfer who was averaging 55 yards a run back on several kicks to next to nothing on Saturday in Lilly. And great job there on that as well, something we definitely want to highlight. And there are some individual guys. We always want to highlight some of those performances on the Tuesday night show. And there are several we'll get to. I want to start with Jahani Wright. He really broke out, made that beautiful catch on an absolutely perfect throw down at the one-yard line. And a lot of nice plays from Jahani the other day.
Yeah, Jahani was targeted four times and made four plays, four catches, and he's a guy that we highlighted in our meetings that, you know, had a really good game. And, you know, going into this next game versus Highlands plays a lot of man coverage, and Jahani is very, very twitchy and explosive, and we want to try to get him in some man-to-man situations where he can win.
Elijah Miles always runs the football tough. He may have two or three guys trying to stack him up, and his legs don't stop, and he pushes them back.
You know, Dave, we talked about our consistent run game in the beginning of our pregame. Elijah is one of those guys that's playing at a really high level. One of the other factors in the game, you know, that I can tell you after watching film is that the safeties never missed a tackle. Those two players did an outstanding job. Elijah ran really hard. I thought that the O-line opened up the holes for him really well. And his runs were all 4 to 5 yard runs, which are really good. That's a consistent run game that we're talking about. That's like an NFL running game team. But their safeties made a ton of tackles, and they're making them for 4 or 5 yard gains. And obviously, there's not very many run game blocking schemes where you can pick up a safety, so it comes down to one-on-ones with them, and they did a great job and kept Elijah, I guess, caged in for making them big runs that you've seen him make. But I also, you know, he walked away with 100 yards all-purpose. We found other ways to get the ball in his hands.
Yeah, caught some passes.
Yes, he had 78 yards rushing, and then we got him for a couple passes and got him right around the 100 yards. And he's one of those guys that we need to continue to get the ball in his hands because he ran really, really well.
Yeah, real dangerous weapon on the offense. And Juan Estrada Sanchez, your starting offensive lineman on the right side at tackle. But in the special teams game, he stepped up. You guys blocked another kick, seventh this year, one negated by penalty. But we count them all with Noah getting those two punts. But, man, Juan with a block, that was big to keep 3 points off the board in a close game.
It is. You know, when you look at in the nation statistics, I think we're number one in punt blocks and number two in kick blocks, or vice versa. But I know that we're up there in both of them, which is really good. And, Coach, first. Sure is doing a great job of scheming up teams and taking advantages of those opportunities.
You know, Coach, talking about special teams, you look at the Huskers and a lot of people talking about the punt return and the fact they don't have a special teams coach or coordinator. And I was thinking a lot over the weekend about how we have always emphasized the importance of a special teams coach and a coordinator. And I think you would speak to how important it is to have somebody on staff who definitely dedicates the time to those situations.
That job is probably one of the hardest jobs because you're also position coach. So he sits through all of the defensive meetings, and then as soon as the defensive meetings get over, and you know he puts inputs and those types of stuff in, then he needs to put together a special teams plan. And the amount of film and the amount of time game planning for Coach Furrier and his two GAs that work with him also is really high on. But he does a great job, and we've done a really good job over the years. When you look at Coach Sassy, you know, was a dog soldier, which is what we call our guys that are, you know, on three special teams or more.
Yeah.
And he really took a ton of pride in special teams. Dylan Furrier, who I think is all fifth leading all tackler of all time at Chatham State. He was also very strong in special teams. Coach Jersey, you know, did a great job of installing the culture to those two guys. And then also we just kept adding on to it. So yes, it is exciting. It's something that we take a lot of pride in. We also dedicate a lot of time to it. We every day have a 30-minute meeting on special teams, and we dedicate 20 minutes out of our hour and a half to 2 hour practice to special teams. Actually, 30 minutes of special teams time.
Yeah, I actually had no idea that Nebraska didn't have a special teams coach or coordinator directly involved with that. And having been inside your program for 7 years now, it was hard to believe the emphasis you guys put on and how much it does affect the game. It was surprising. I'd be curious to know how many other D1 teams don't have that kind of coach. But conversation for another day, Jay. Let's move on to a couple other guys we definitely want to highlight from Saturday. Trevin Smith, a young freshman, but he played in the COVID year, so really his second year with you, on that nose of the football, and he's really playing well. He had a career high in tackles and looked good.
He is talented, Dave. He's a big kid in the middle that, you know, as a nose, it's called a nose guard for a reason. You know, a lot of times a nose, you're a lot like an offensive lineman. You're trying to knock the offensive line back. You don't normally get a lot of tackles playing nose, but you're a very, very important part of all defensive schemes. And Trayvon has been putting together, you know, really four great weeks. And this one he got to, you know, get some statistics with it. But, yeah, he's been doing a real good job in the middle of holding down the front, and he had a good game.
And defensive end Gabe Perkins just continues to make plays, harass quarterbacks, and that big pass breakup he had on the line of scrimmage was a key play.
You know, Dave, when you talk about key plays and finishing games and finding ways to win at the end, Gabe Perkins, I don't know if you talked about it much on the radio, but we had about, I think it was under just a little bit over 2 minutes left, and we decided to kick it deep instead of onside it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talked, we had two timeouts left. We thought we were going to get the ball back with a minute 16, and we thought our field position would be better, which it worked out for us in that regard. So we decided to kick it deep in the fourth quarter. We needed some guys to make some plays in order to have that to happen. Gabe's first play, he got a tackle for loss, which then puts them in a situation where they have to throw. They threw a screen play. Gabe then knocked down the ball, and then that stopped the clock, so I didn't have to use a timeout.
Right.
So then that then returns into a third and long. They threw the ball again. It was incomplete. And then on fourth down after that, it was complete. I was able to use our final timeout, and they kicked it, and we had about 2 minutes left to play in it. So that was what I'm talking about, where we got to find ways to win at the end of the game. And I'm really proud of Gabe's effort for that. And offensively, we had a chance to win at that end of the game or to tie it up.
Yeah.
And that's the type of effort that we need.
Yeah, Gabe making plays to save that precious time. It was great stuff from him. Let's move into the Hammer Award, Coach. Every week we talk about the Hammer, the special team stars. Who were the nominees, and do we have a winner chosen by the team yet?
It was unanimous. Chase Thurness. He eliminated a big spark play on the fake punt. He's our long snapper and our short snapper. And then also he had a huge play on the kickoff where he really stuck a guy, and a big hit motivates the team. And I thought Chase did a terrific job on special teams. Chase has been on special teams for every year that he's been here. He's been a huge, huge contributor over the past few years. I think he's led the team in tackling on special teams. And this is the first time he's got to carry out the hammer. So a real special moment, really awesome. I know it was really important for him, and I'm really proud of his efforts.
Boy, looking forward to seeing him run out to midfield Saturday at Highlands with that hammer in his hands. Mm-hmm. Great to hear Chase get that. Next item, injuries, health, and also what can you tell us about Brendan Bramer? He was thrown out of the game for targeting in the second half. What's the status then with this week for him?
Targeting was upheld, so he will miss the first half of the game this Saturday. As far as the other injuries, Riley Schleep is our tight end, is day-to-day. The Hare Twins won't be back this week either.
And New Mexico Highlands coach, another long road trip back-to-back going down to Highlands. You guys have scored a lot of points there in the past, and hopefully can get a lot this week against this team as well. But they got a bunch of playmakers, it looks like, too. What have you seen in your early scouting and look at Highlands?
You know, when you're starting to see, with the teams, young Mesa, for example, Mesa's too deep of their offense and their defense. They only had three kids from Colorado. There's a lot of grad transfers, a lot of Division I transfers on their team. Highlands is no different. They are very, very heavy transfer-oriented. They brought in a wide receiver that is really, really dynamic player. I would say, for the people that know Shattern State football, he's real similar to Jackson Dickerson body type. He weighs less than Jackson Dickerson did. He is really, really fast. And Highlands takes a lot of deep shots with him. And he's, I think, the leading yards per catch receiver in the league.
Yeah.
So he's a guy that we definitely have to be aware of. And he's went against some of the top defenses in the conference, such as Mines and also Mesa. So he's a kid we got to know where he's at. Defensively by Highlands, they are also a talented defense. They've got a lot of grad transfers in there, and a lot of transfers in there. And they run a 4-2 front. They run a lot of man coverage, which means they can bring a lot of pressure. And it's going to be a good game. It's going to be one of those games that they're very talented, and they're searching and hunting for a win, and we're also searching and hunting for a win. So we're excited to get on the bus and get down there and get to play.
Yeah, it ought to be a really exciting Saturday once again, Coach, for you guys. Looking forward to it as well. That's Jay Long, head coach on the weekly Tuesday Jay Long Show. Great thoughts as always, Coach. We always appreciate you helping us to get the fans inside the program week to week. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks you, Daves, and go Eagles.
Tune in every Tuesday night during the season for the Jay Long Show, presented by Shadron Glass and Windows. Listen on demand by downloading archived shows on the CSC Sports page at panhandlepost.com.